every so often when your life seems upside down, the world seems so dark, so lost, so full of pain, have you ever thought to yourself, I don't know how I'm going to make it? We know that now more than ever, depression is just overwhelming people. We see this in all kinds of ways. And we're wondering, you know, where's God? Where's God in all of this? And so part of what I think happens is that we forget that we are supposed to be overcomers. The Bible calls us overcomers. Jesus calls us overcomers. We have a destiny as overcoming the world. And so I know I said last week that that was the last part of our Contagious series. Apparently I lied, and we'll probably have more. So we're continuing Contagious, and part 10 this week is being Contagious Overcomers. We're going to be John in the first lot of coming out. Let me see. Let's pause there for a second. Do you think we need to change mics or no? It's cutting out quite a bit. A lot of feedback. Okay, let's see. I guess we could just try to pick it up. All right. So our text today is going to be John chapter 16, starting with verse 32, and we'll be using John and 1 John. So John 16, 32 says, this is Jesus speaking right before he's about to be arrested and crucified. It's his last, it's the upper room dialogue. So it's the night of Passover. He's with his disciples for the last night. And he tells them the prophecy, you will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed it. 16:32, first half. A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Okay, so that's our jumping off point. Jesus has overcome the world. As a result, we have overcome the world even when we don't know it. So we're going to start with a brief definition of what overcome means. So to overcome is three different definitions. To prevail or defeat an opponent, to overpower or overwhelm a troublesome circumstance, and three, to succeed in dealing with a problem or situation. This is what we mean by overcoming. So principle number one today is we are able to overcome the world because we belong to God through faith in Jesus Christ and because Christ shares his victory with us. So we see this in the book of 1 John in chapter 5, starting with verse 1. It says, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has become a child of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his children too. We know we love God's children if we love God and obey his commandments. Loving God means keeping his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For every child born of God overcomes this world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And who is it that can overcome the world? Only those who believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So we are able to overcome the world because we belong to God through faith in Jesus Christ and because Christ shares his victory with us. So as we go into principle number two, I want to make the distinction here, okay? We are not overcomers, and we're not going to overcome the world simply because we saw Jesus do it, okay? It's not one of those things where, hey, I did it, so you can too. That's not what he's saying here. We are able to overcome the world because we belong to God and because his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is greater than he who is in the world, right? Talking about Satan, talking about demonic forces, talking about the corrupt world system, talking about sin, all that stuff, all the enemies of God. The Holy Spirit is greater than all of it, which is why we can overcome. We see this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. But you belong to God, my dear children. You have overcome the world because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. So we're not overcoming because we have the willpower to, because Jesus set the perfect example and we can follow it. Yes, he does set the perfect example. We should already know we can't follow it. Christ did not say, hey, I overcame the world so you can too. Right? This is not an infomercial where you see me do it so you can do it. The fact is we cannot overcome the world on our own. We've tried and we've tried and we've tried, but we have failed miserably. So as we're talking about overcoming, it's not trying harder, doing more, focusing more, sacrificing more. It's about receiving the victory through Jesus, through his blood, through the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us power that we simply do not have on our own. So again, we're able to overcome the world because we belong to God and because his Holy Spirit that lives inside of us is greater than all the enemies of God that are in this world. Principle number three, overcoming the world is about knowing, understanding, and embracing the fact that Jesus' victory over the world is a past, present, and future reality. Okay? Being overcomers means we know, we accept, we believe, we cling to the fact that Jesus' victory over the world is a past, present, and future reality. I don't know why this happens, but, you know, we often think of, you know, Jesus overcoming the world, that's in the past. Yeah, it's one past action on the cross, but one that continues to happen every day. And there's a future for this, right? There's still certain things that he's going to overcome, that he's going to have victory over throughout human history. So if Jesus has overcome past, present, and future, then the reality is that the danger or the peril or the threat of whatever we see before us shouldn't be as real as the fact that Jesus already has the victory, past, present, and future. So this is where you can start to see, do I think like an overcomer? Do I believe like an overcomer? It's based on when things start happening, when chaos starts breaking out, when you get overwhelmed by your situations, your financial situations, your relational situations, whatever the case may be. Is your first thought that Jesus has already conquered this? Jesus has already had the victory? Or is it, man, I don't know how the heck I'm gonna get through this. I don't know what God is up to, right? That's the mind frame of an overcomer versus those of us that are still trying to develop into being overcomers. We are overcomers through Christ. This is a concrete fact, but we don't all live like we're overcomers. That's the problem, right? So principle number four, overcoming the world does not mean we're pulled off the battlefield or that we are spared from pain, loss, or suffering. Let's look back at the text, and it says in John 16:32, a time is coming and in fact has come when you will be scattered each to your own home. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart means have courage, have confidence. Think about the context in which Jesus is giving this. He's about to be betrayed. He's about to be arrested. He's about to get spit on. He's about to get slapped. He's about to get whipped 40 times. He's about to get crucified. And yet he's talking about how he's already has the victory. It's already done deal. I've already overcome it. Right? He's about to be abandoned by his best friends that have been with him day in, day out, his best disciples day in, day out for 3.5 years. So, even though he knows how dark it's about to get, he's also going through the darkness right now. But his thoughts are on the fact that I have overcome. It's already done deal. I've already lived the sinless life. I've already taken all the blasphemy. I've already been rejected by all the people. And the victory is there. God has already given the victory. So as you're dealing with life and you're dealing, like I said, complicated situations, do you really believe God has the victory already? Do you believe that God wants to see you be victorious through these things? Or do you believe that maybe God is on vacation and not paying attention? Maybe God loves a whole lot of people and is very interested in them, but not so much you. Maybe God wants to punish you. Those are all the thoughts that want to lead us astray from the reality that Jesus has overcome the world, and because he has, we have too. It's kind of like growing up, you know, with a hardcore bully, right? One that beats you every day, takes your money every day, you know, and you suffer this for years. You happen to be the same age and you're growing up through the same school. Well, when the victor comes and whoops that bully, you're free. You have the victory. Even though it was, you know, that other person that got the victory, you got the victory by association because that bully's done. Put a fork in them. They're never going to do it again. That's what we need to understand about being overcome and through Christ. We're pulled in the field or the suffering. Principle number 5, overcoming the world is about having peace in the storm, confidence in the chaos, hope in the darkness, and conquering the giants in our lives. When Jesus says, you know, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Too often we think that means, well, that means no trouble, right? That means we're just going to be at peace all the time. That's not what he said, because the very next line, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I forget the name of the author. I was looking it up yesterday. He wrote The Tale of Two Cities. Right? Charles Dickens, there you go. Do you remember what his opening line is? It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. And then he just keeps playing on the paradox, right? Best of times, worst of times. I can't remember the rest. I was supposed to memorize it. That's the paradox and the duality in which we can live in as Christians. It can be the worst of times. It could be the darkest of times. And yet it could be the best of times, where the light shines brightest. That's what being an overcomer through Christ is all about. It's about a ultimate reality created by Christ, which we can experience here and now. We call that the kingdom of heaven. We can experience the kingdom of heaven here and now, despite the circumstances and the situations and the state of the world as it is. That's what it means to be an overcomer. That's why we can have peace in the storm. That's why we can have confidence in the chaos. That's why we can have hope in the darkness. And that's how we conquer the giants in our lives. Right? It's not like the American where we have, you know, the best weapons the world has ever seen. Right? We have better than that through God. It just doesn't look that way. Right? Because why? Because God uses stones to take down giants. He takes unworthy people, weak-looking people, to bring the victory, so there's no doubt that he's the one doing it. And so the more we look around and the more we see this just doesn't seem possible, the more we should start to tap into the fact that because it does seem impossible from a human standpoint, because it does look like it can never happen, that this is the kind of thing God wants to do. And he wants to use you to do it. But you have to have the overcomer's identity. Do you embrace your identity as overcomers of the world? Revelation chapter 3, I think it's the last two verses of the chapter, probably 21 and 22, might be wrong on the verse numbers. Jesus says, and he's talking to the seven churches, and he says, to all who overcome, I will share my throne. Just like when I overcame the world and my Father shared his throne with me. That's a paraphrase. Don't quote me on that one. But it's, you have a destiny to overcome the world because Christ already did it. You are an overcomer in this world, even if your situation doesn't look like it. Even if it doesn't pan out the way you thought it would, that doesn't mean that you are living in defeat. What did it look like when Christ is saying these things and then he's spit on, mocked, slapped, whipped, crucified? That's his reality as he's saying, I'm an overcomer. I'm an overcomer and all these things are going to happen to me. But I overcome at death. I overcome through the resurrection. I overcome because I accomplished my mission. What is your mission? What is your mission? What is your calling? Why do you exist? For what purpose has God created you? That's where the overcoming happens. It doesn't mean you're going to overcome everything as in, hey, you're going to overcome financial barriers, so you're going to be rich. You know, you're going to overcome health barriers, so you're going to be in perfect health. You know, you're going to overcome, you know, not getting the promotion at work, and you're going to be a CEO. That's not the overcoming Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about you are going to finish the mission God gave you, despite whatever goes on around you. So long as you understand that you're not the one doing it, and you can't do it, but you get it by association with Jesus. Principle number 6, taking heart in the fact that Christ has overcome the world means that we will not turn back when the situation seems impossible or when we feel utterly defeated and hopeless. This is why I say we don't have, most of us don't have the overcomer mindset, that belief, because when things get hard, we turn around and run. And that's not what overcomers do. Overcomers put on the armor of God and they keep walking. They keep rolling that boulder up the hill. They keep walking on water. They keep taking on all challenges. Not because we're so strong, but because we know we are destined to be overcomers and that we have a mission to fulfill. And even if we're killed in that mission, we have overcome. We cannot turn back. We cannot keep thinking that when things get hard, it must not have God's blessing in it. I think more times than not, by a long shot, the harder things get, the more it should clue you into the fact and tune you into the fact that you're probably on the right path. You're probably on the right path the harder things get, which is why you're meeting resistance. And if we're going to get through the situation, right? God's not going to take you out of the situation. He wants to walk with you through the situation because the blessing and the transformation is on the other side. So if we keep running, if we keep hiding, if we keep avoiding, you're not going to be able to overcome. You're not going to be transformed. You're not going to receive the blessing. And that's where a lot of us get lost. We have to realize we can't keep turning back. It should be causing us to double down and triple down in our commitment to God, in our belief that God is going to do it. Again, I'm not telling you whatever you pray for, God's going to give you. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, as life gets dark, as your life gets complicated, as pain starts to soak in more and more. So let's think about it. Many of us here are living great times right now. God has been up to some wonderful things. We're thriving. He's causing all kinds of things to just produce spiritual fruit in our lives. But we have brothers and sisters that are in the worst times of their lives right now. Right? So as you pray for them, as you talk with them, as you love them, as you serve them, do you really believe that God is going to help them overcome? Or are you heartbroken and in despair and defeated and as hopeless as they are? Because you don't really believe they're going to overcome. You don't really believe Christ has overcome already. And that changes our posture before God when we bring things to His throne. Do you believe that He has overcome and that you will overcome? Because that's a whole different attitude and demeanor than those who come in disbelief. There's actually a part about disbelief in the few verses right before this. I'm not going to get into it, but basically, you know, Jesus is saying, you know, the time is coming. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. The time is coming where all these things will be made plain and you'll understand me plainly. And then his disciples say, I think it's two verses right before this. Now we believe. Oh, now we get it. He's like, oh, do you believe? Do you get it? He's saying, nah, you don't get it yet. But you will. You will get it. So how are you going to the throne before God? As overcomers, associated with the victory of Jesus, or as those who come to the throne because they need to check off the list that at least they took it to God. At least we asked, but we don't really believe. Principle number 7, overcoming the world through Christ reminds us that even in death, we will achieve the final victory over the last enemy. This is how amazing and brilliant God is, that even in death, it just leads to another victory. It's just something else that we overcome as the people of God. I'm going to skip around here in 1 Corinthians 15 because they get off tangent a little bit. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 26 says, and the last enemy to be destroyed is death. We jump to 42. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to life to live forever. Our bodies are buried in brokenness, but they will be raised in glory. They are buried in weakness, but they will be raised in strength. They are buried as natural human bodies, but they will be raised as spiritual bodies. For just as there are natural bodies, there are also spiritual bodies. Jump ahead to 50. What I am saying, dear brothers and sisters, is that our physical bodies cannot inherit the kingdom of God. These dying bodies cannot inherit what will last forever. 53, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Then, when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death. And the law gives sin its power. But thank God He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. So overcoming the world through Christ reminds us that even in death we will achieve the final victory over the last. So every obstacle we face, every tribulation that comes our way, you are designed, you are set up by God to overcome it. Are we praying that way? Are we believing that way? What does it look like in your life to make sure you make the full, you move that needle, you make the full path to confidence that you are an overcomer through Christ? That you are more than a conqueror through Christ. If you really believe that, how would that change your life? How would that change the way you think and the way you speak and the way you feel? And that's what we're destined to do. So again, as we pray for our brothers and sisters, as we pray for our families, you know, who are not yet believers or going through the hardest of times, or we have death, loved ones that are dying or just died or suffering from horrible diseases. What's your position before God? You know, I always tell people, it's an interesting thing, and maybe, you know, maybe I'll repent of this 40 years from now. I don't think so. As I get older, but it's an interesting thing not to fear death. It's an interesting thing not to fear death. There's two ways not to fear death. Well, three probably. One is you don't fear death because you don't value life. We're not talking about that. Right? There's people that don't fear death because they don't value life. The second one is you don't fear death because you know where you're going when you die. So as I've dealt with many saints throughout the years, right, our brothers and sisters that are no longer with us, and I've seen some horrible ways for people to die. Horrible ways. But it doesn't shake my faith. And while there may be times of sadness, it doesn't break me because I know the reality that they have now conquered the final obstacle. That through Jesus, through His resurrection, through the Holy Spirit, they have overcome. And as I deal with our brothers and sisters here and many others in many other churches, every time I run into terrible situations, heartbreaking situations, it doesn't break me down because I know that these are just setups for victory. Doesn't mean everybody's going to have victory because everybody has their own free will choice to make. They got the path that they must walk. But they are setups allowed by God for victory. Can we start looking at things from that nature? Right? Every time something falls down or someone falls down, it's not the end of the world and it's not so we can break down with them. It's so that we can help them overcome spirit. So what have you allowed in your life lately to make you feel like you can never overcome? What are your eyes fixed on instead of God that is telling you this is never going to change? You're never going to defeat this. This is too big for you. And maybe God doesn't care. Those are all lies. Every single one of them is lies. The victory has already been given. Your destiny is to overcome, like we know in Revelation 3. All you got to do now is accept it. Do you accept the fact that Jesus gives you the victory? Will you cling to the fact that Jesus gives you the victory? As I've often shared in the past, how my parents were able to pray and believe that God would turn me around when I was the lostest person, I know that's not a word, the lostest person you could ever meet. Because they realize what it means to be overcomers. And if we've seen God do it before, you know He's going to do it again, right? So this is why we share our testimonies. This is why we share our stories. So you can see how active God is in the life of His people. And as you see that, and you know the people, and you experience the joy with them, after having the suffering with them, the brokenness, the pain with them, you know that it's real, and you can continue to embrace the reality that we are overcomers of this world. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank You, Lord. We thank You for the fact that victory is in Jesus. That through His victory on the cross, through His victory at the resurrection, through the vanquishing of all Your enemies, Lord, we, by association, by the covering of the blood, are victors as well. Lord, help us to take our gaze off the things that want to crush us. The obstacles, the circumstances, the situations, the Goliaths of our lives, Lord, that want to make us feel broken and inferior. Help us to take our gaze off those things and to put them on You, knowing that You have the record of being undefeated. You don't have a single loss to your name. You are the undisputed champion of all reality. And you have chosen us to be on your team. We are on your team. You have given us the victory. We get the ring every time you win. Lord, help us to give ourselves over to this reality, that it would transform our mind, that it would transform our heart, that it would transform our attitude, that it would invigorate us, because the Holy Spirit lives inside us and He is greater than all your enemies here in this world. Lord, we believe. We believe you when you tell us that we will overcome the world just like you did. Not because you're our example, but because you live inside us through the Holy Spirit and you provide the victory. Lord, we confess and we repent that we have not been living as overcomers. We have allowed ourselves to fall into hopelessness and depression and pity, self-pity. Lord, we confess that we know those things are not right, and we ask you to help us, Lord. Help us to see what our natural eyes cannot see. Help us to see, like you showed Elisha when he was surrounded by an army, and you, his servant was scared and said, "What are we going to do?" And you opened his eyes to see the angelic army all around, saying, "We are more than they are. We are more powerful than they are." Lord, help us tap into that kingdom vision so that we can believe and believe and believe, not just for ourselves, not just for our families, not just for our friends, not just for our churches, but for this world that needs you so desperately, Lord. Hope is one of the things missing in this world, but hope is what you give us. Hope for the hopeless situation. Light for the darkness. Victory in the middle of utter defeat in everything else. Lord, we pray for the peace in the storm. We pray for the calmness and the confidence in the chaos. And we pray that you would bring the victory over the giants in our lives. We thank you, and we love you, and we love you, and we love you. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.